2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
MLB Daily Dispatch brought to you by DFSArmy.com. Hey, if you're not signed up with us yet, make sure you do so. But you can try us out for 7 free days. Use the promo code WIN, W-I-N, and get a little bit of access to what we got going on here behind the DFS Army barrack walls. Of course, since it's MLB season, we got the VIP lineups page. Gives out the customized DFSA grade. You can also check out Burnsy's Analytics Corner. Also, you can get access to the Domination Station, which creates up to 150 lineups for your PGA contests and NASCAR events as well. Once again, DFSArmy.com. Use the promo code WIN, W-I-N, for 7 free days. I'm your host, Al Walsh. Find me on Twitter at 14a.walsh. Find my co-host, Keith Hall, at Boomers DFS Daddy. So we had a couple NBA moves last night. Finally got that big Jimmy Butler move that we were seeing. Unfortunately for you and your OKC Thunder, he's going out west. But a formidable trio of Jimmy Butler, Karl Anthony Towns, and Andrew Wiggins going to be just absolutely fantastic for the no-nonsense Tom Thibodeau.
Yeah, I'm not too excited about it.
Course you're not, you know. you're about as excited about that as I was about Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett coming to Brooklyn.
Well, it's for a couple reasons. One, Andrew Wiggins is still a very, very streaky player. Two, you know, Karl Anthony Towns, he generally has like a good half of a game against us. But, you know, Steven Adams is, you know, makes adjustments and pretty much shuts him down. So as long as he's on the court and not Enes Kanter, then we're good to go. And then three, Jimmy Butler, I mean, Jimmy Butler's a great player. Don't get me wrong. But we know Jimmy Butler is, you know, a two-way player. Now, I think the better comparison would be, you know, the fact that now you've got Jimmy Butler and Kawhi matching off 3-4 times a year, which is going to be great. And it, you know, it, don't get me wrong, this move makes Minnesota better, but as far as, you know, head to head matchups against Oklahoma City, I don't know if it does quite a lot because I mean, what, now you've got Andre Robertson shutting down Jimmy Butler 3 times a year. I mean, It doesn't do a lot head-to-head for me. I think it's going to be I think Minnesota makes the playoffs next year. I think they, you know, make a push for that 7-6 seed. Do I think they get in the top four? No. It depends on what, you know, the Clippers do. And, you know, San Antonio's evidently, you know, they were shopping LaMarcus Aldridge. And so, I mean, there's going to be a little bit of a shakeup, but make no mistake about it. We know the Spurs are going to be in the top three seed. We know that Golden State's going to be there.
I can't believe you mentioned the Spurs over the Warriors. That, I mean, yeah.
Well, it's just because I say, you know, I give more credit to Kawhi and Pop than I do, you know, what I can't even remember the guy's name.
Kevin Durant?
No. I give more credit to Pop and Kawhi Leonard than I do Steve Kerr for what he does. Because, you know, when you've got great players, it's easy to be a good coach as long as you can manage personalities. But when you're having to manage personalities and be a great coach because of the – and make no mistake about it, Golden State is far more talented than San Antonio.
Uh-huh.
But when you look at it, I mean, we came down the last, 2 weeks of the season, and they were both vying for that number one seed in the West. So I think Greg Popovich is the best coach in the NBA currently.
I hear something in the background over there. Keith, you might have the haterade spilling all over your room over there. Come on, man. Get a towel. Pick it up. Pick it up.
No,
pick
it's up. Not. It's, pick it up. It has nothing to do with the fact that I don't think the Warriors are a great team. They are, obviously. I just think that Steve Kerr is not as good of a coach as Greg Popovich.
That's ridiculous. I mean, especially if you've seen what he's done here over the last couple of years.
And,
even before Kevin Durant. Even before Kevin Durant.
You have the two-time reigning MVP until Westbrook takes it. And then you signed a former MVP. You've got probably one of the best lockdown defenders that can lock down a four and a five position in the NBA, who can still step out and shoot the three, who's one of the best passing big men in the NBA, and you've got a lights-out shooter in Klay Thompson, who, if it wasn't for Steph Curry, would probably be considered the best three-point shooter in the NBA.
Well, let me ask you something. How do you think they all – well, three of those players, how do you think they got to be where they are? Because
they drafted
Mark
Jackson.
They weren't that, but they weren't that before Steve Kerr got there. I'll tell you that.
They were too.
Uh-uh.
They maybe not to the level – but they were. Mark Jackson is instrumental in that Golden State team. And the fact that he does not get enough love is absolutely
ridiculous.
He gets
some love. He gets some love.
So what are you saying?
Let's make a mistake about it. Kerr's been there 3 years. They've been to the finals three times.
Luke Walton took that team and went 42-2. And then Kerr wasn't even there for half the playoffs, and they still
He's there. He's not on the court, but he's there before him.
Oh, my gosh. You're telling me that Steve Kerr is a comparison to Greg Popovich.
I'd say he's better.
I would say you're absolutely completely bonkers. Look what Greg Popovich has done with the lack of talent. He's always competing for that one or two seed.
He does fine. He does fine. But as we can see now, as these Spurs players are getting older, they just have – they don't have the same.
And they're
sort of
still competing for the one or two seed every single year.
That's fun. You know, competing is fun. It's not winning titles. It's not going to the finals. I know what Pop's – I know his resume. I'm just saying it's very tough to look away from the fact that Kerr's been with the Warriors for 3 years and they've won two titles and lost in the finals the other year. It's all about percentages with me. That's how I feel. Anywho, let us get into this baseball slate. I know we kind of got a little bit of an abbreviated time period that we got to deal with, but we had to talk about some NBA draft, mainly the fact that the Timberwolves upgraded a little bit. It was kind of crazy that Porzingis almost got traded yesterday, but for the packages that were being thrown out there, I think if the price was right, the Knicks could have done it. But other than that, everything else kind of went how I think we all thought it was going to go, especially Lonzo Ball. You know, he's still crazy. Or LeVar Ball, I'm sorry. That man is still the most crazy person in the world. I've already had the freaking Lakers-colored big baller hat. Pulled it out of his suit inside pocket last night, but that's enough. That is enough.
Of course,
all right.
When you say, I will only play for this team, then, I mean – you've got to kind of know that it's there. But, you know, the only thing that I didn't – I was at the Drillers game last night. It was Trevor Story's bobblehead game. So I went to a minor league baseball game over, watching the NBA draft. And, sure. I mean, I know what the Thunder are going to do. They're going to draft with potential, and that's exactly what they did. And, you know, he's 2 or 3 years away from actually making an impact. And – you know, I mean, that's just what Sam Presti does. Sam Presti. That's just what Sam Presti does. He drafts for talent and, you know, builds from within. They don't sign a lot of free agents. They don't make a lot of these big trades. You know, that's why I was kind of surprised when what they were starting to do last year. And that's just kind of how they do it. So I had to actually go look up the guy that the Oklahoma City Thunder drafted last night. So. Oh, shut up. The Knicks
Thunder
didn't do
draft.
Anything.
Thunder draft? I'm sorry. We're talking about major headlines here, Keith. Not the OKC Thunder draft. All right, let's get into a little bit of baseball here. We know full game slate Friday. Love these 15 days or 15 games here on this slate. So we should always start out with the stacks going on here. Who are we liking tonight?
I really, really, really kind of do like, and it's weather related. It's going to be Cleveland.
Yeah.
I know they struggle against left-handed pitching, but I can sit there and I can go Daniel Robinson, Lindor, Encarnacion, Jose Ramirez, Carlos Santana, Yan Gomes. I think they're all in play tonight. It's a little weird because Mejia hasn't been terrible, but he hasn't been great either. I think Tampa Bay going up against Ubaldo is juicy, as we've seen what Tampa Bay can do. I think a lot of people are going to go to Washington, and I think that's a mistake. I don't really know how this kid is going to respond. Luis Castillo, he's making his major league debut. He's one
good,
of
the good double A numbers.
Great double A numbers. Over a 25% strikeout rate, under a 5% walk rate. 2-point-something ERA, 2.58 ERA, and this is over 80 innings pitched. Now, how is that?
Pensacola, good town, good town.
Yeah, and that's you know, how is this going to play to majors? Still yet to be decided. But with that said, I mean, going up against, Goodwin, Harper, Zimmerman, Murphy, Rendon, Adam Lind, who's been kind of tearing up the ball lately. That's not easy, but I don't know if stacking them is, you know, something that I really want to do. I really do like the Cincinnati stack tonight.
Going up against the Straz.
Yep. Scooter Gennett, Joey Votto, Adam Duvall, Eugenio Suarez, Scott Schebler. I think they're all in play tonight. They all have over a 260 or a 230 ISO versus right-handed pitching this season. I know Strasburg's got the strikeout potential, but he's also got the imploding potential as well. So,
indeed. My Philadelphia Phillies are in the desert tonight, taking on the Arizona Diamondbacks, and this one could get ugly real quick. Mark Leiter Jr., son of former MLB pitcher Mark Leiter.
Wait a second here, because I've got different. That's what I was going to ask you. I've got conflicting reports on who's supposed to be starting.
Okay.
Last night I had Mark Leiter Jr., but this morning, about an hour ago, Jake Thompson showed up.
Oh, I didn't see that. All right. Well, in any event, I mean, look, I'm not interested in the pitcher who it is, but Diamondbacks at home always going to be, a formidable force on offense. Even if it is Jake Thompson, I don't see him going too deep into this game. And again, that means that the Arizona bullpen is going to get, the Philadelphia bullpen is going to get more action in this game, which is never a good thing. They did hold on for the win for Aaron Nola Day yesterday, so thank you for that. But, I think regardless of what happens, the Diamondbacks at home are pretty much always an option, so I'm not even going to really worry too much about who the pitcher is right now. But if it is going to be Mark Leiter Jr., I like it a million times more. Very bad. I also don't mind a game stack here with the Boston Red Sox and the Los Angeles Angels. I'm aware of Alex Meyer being lights out here over his last couple starts, but it is Big Poppy Day in Boston today. So I know Red Sox bats are struggling. They're going to be back home at Fenway Park today. That's a good sign. On the other side of things, you got the Angels who are taking on Rick Porcello. Porcello giving up at least eight hits in each of his last eight starts. I mean, these are numbers that you just salivate over. We saw what the Angels just did last night in Yankee Stadium, which was pretty good. But, again, the thing with them is they're going to be strict GPP plays. With them, they either go bananas and totally ruin your day, or they just suck and totally ruin your day if you're on them. But we have a 10.5 game over-under total on that game tonight at Fenway Park. So I think that
speaks
a lot of volumes.
Have you seen the totals for today?
Yeah, I feel like these totals recently have been – like they've pretty much all gone up. Like the fact was a Fulmer in San Diego tonight with the Tigers at Padres. That is a 7.5. I mean, that's one – I don't think I've seen a 7.5 the last time probably when Kershaw was on the mound. But I've seen Vegas really pumping a lot of these totals up this season.
And Rob Manfred wants us to believe that the ball isn't juiced.
I've been hearing some stuff lately that it's, I guess, spun tighter.
Yeah, if the ball's harder and the bats are harder, that means that the point of impact creates a higher exit velocity, which means the ball goes farther, which means there's more the probability of more runs being scored. And with the strike zone smaller than it was, say, 5 years ago, you know, whether they want to say it is or not, I mean, technically within the concept of the rules, it's always been the same since they made that change. But with them grading the umpires, you know, and them getting more consistent calling strikes, you know, it becomes one of those things that we got to pay attention to. Yeah, and it's weird because, I mean, even in L.A. tonight with the Dodgers and Rockies, that total is an 8. So, I mean, we have one game under an 8 total tonight. And only 3 under a 9. There's going to be some runs to be scored tonight, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, and you know, I'll even go back to the fact where all these games are being juiced up a bit. I'm sure. I mean, don't get me wrong. I know we're going to see a lot of runs, but we're probably going to see some totals missed here tonight as well. I think baseball the people in Vegas with baseball just kind of have their hands up in the air right now. Like, I don't know what to do because
doesn't it feel they're getting smacked around by people betting the over, so they're juicing them up.
I would absolutely say that. But that's the thing. I mean, you know, when you look at it, 8 runs, which is what we saw a lot over the last couple of years. Like that was probably like I don't know what to do. We'll just slap an 8 on this. I mean, that's 4 runs for each team, and that's certainly, you know, not what is happening. And, you know, you want to talk about the baseballs and all that kind of stuff. A lot of these ballparks, too, are kind of just lending themselves to a lot of runs as well. So I think the combination of everything is what we see now, where they're jumping up a run now with the totals. And, you know, we see a lot more 10s and a lot more 10.5 than we've probably ever seen in the days of MLB DFS. So, you know, I'm not going to put too much stock on it. But again, like when I see a 12, I think that means we're going to see a lot of runs in a game. When we see a 7.5 or something like that, I think we're going to see fewer runs. So, you know, when we get into pitchers here, Mr. Fulmer will certainly be on the list.
Yeah, I agree.
In terms of stacks, you know, I like the Rangers tonight against Tanaka. Everybody think, oh, Tanaka might be back. Well, keep in mind his 2 double-digit strikeout games were both against the Oakland A's this season. You got some pretty good BVP on the Rangers side there, so I do like Tanaka. A surprising one, the Milwaukee Brewers going up against Foltynewicz. They do have a couple lefties that can get to him. You know, I'm mainly talking about Thames and Shaw there for the Brewers, but you know, Foltynewicz, decent pitcher, but I don't mind the Brewers. They're all pretty reasonably priced on FanDuel and that.
Yeah, I agree. They've got some interesting prices on DraftKings as well. So,
cool.
Especially, I mean, you got Eric Thames, he's 4,600. You got Travis Shaw, he's 4,200. With no top end pitchers, I mean, besides Chris Archer and Steven Strasburg, you know, everybody else is under 10K. So, I mean, you could go get Yu Darvish and Alex Wood and pay 18.9, and those are the, you know, you fade the 2 highest pitchers of the day, and you know, you've got plenty of room to fit in good quality bats, and with no Coors Field to worry about, then you're good.
Thank god. All right, let us talk about it's not a shot at your Rockies, which I usually do. I just, you know, it's fun now we can afford the, you know, we don't have to worry about those prices with that the night going.
They weren't that high though this last homestand. Like today's Wednesday's game for Charlie Blackman to get over 5K on FanDuel.
Yeah. Leadoff homer, all downhill from there.
Well, I mean, nobody expected Zach Godley to come out and pitch like Jesus Christ.
Charlie's pretty – he did pretty good yesterday. And the one line drive in the ninth – what was that, the eighth of the ninth inning where he just smacked it up the middle, drilled whoever was pitching right in the chest. That was quite –
yeah, did you see his reaction?
Nah.
Oh, gosh. The guy went like – he was – hot. He was like, oh, and I'm like, dude, what are you doing? So,
all right. Who are we liking for pitcher tonight?
Alex Wood.
Yeah.
I've been screaming it. Look, we've got better numbers, and I say we as far as we meaning Colorado, the Rockies, have better numbers against Clayton Kershaw than we do Alex Wood. I mean, Chop outlined it in, you know, Chin Music this morning. He's the top pitcher on the board. I think he's going to be chalky and rightfully so. I mean, you've just got to kind of sit there and look at it and really, really kind of understand that, you know, yes, the Rockies are really good against left-handed pitching this year. They're the third in Team WOBA, hitting over 340. They've got a nice ISO. You know, they're very, very good. But they also still do strike out 23.7% of the time. And this is, you know, Los Angeles. This is Chavez Ravine. The issue I have you noticed the scores of Chavez the last week?
No, but do tell.
They have been abnormally high. And I'm talking abnormally high. Let's see here. Yesterday, 9 runs. 10 runs the day before that. 12 runs the day before that. 16 runs the day before that.
Well, that was when the Reds were in town, right?
No, the Mets.
Well, yeah. There
but,
you go.
You know, I mean, yes, it's the Mets pitching, but still, I mean, Clayton Kershaw, the first game of the series was 10-6. Clayton Kershaw lost 4 home runs. You know, I mean, you go through, there's.
Oh, that was a game against the Cubs, right?
No, against the Mets.
Oh, yeah.
there's runs being scored. What I'm saying is there's runs being scored, which is probably why this total is at an 8 tonight. But I mean, you've got to think, you know, Seager hit 3 home runs, you know, Cody Bellinger hit 3 home runs or 4 home runs, whatever it was. I mean, there's some power that's been had, so don't overlook it. If you think that somebody can, and I would only play one-offs in this game. You know, a Cody Bellinger, maybe a Nolan, maybe an Ian Desmond. You know, just kind of or a Trevor Story. Somebody that can go yard either one or two times. I would not stack this game at all. But Alex Wood is by far dollar per point projection top on our board today.
Yeah, I would think so, too. And, honestly, to tell you the truth, I would probably just avoid most of the bats in this game. Number one, you know, Alex Wood is, you know, giving up, what, under 10 extra base hits this entire season in 61 and two-thirds innings. Not exactly something I'm, eager to jump in line to try and get in front of. So that's for one thing. Your boy Kyle Freeland, good ground ball pitcher. I mean, he could even be a decent option here today against the Dodgers. They're striking out.
I think he's a great pairing with Alex Wood and hoping that you get like a very low total.
Yeah, he, the ground ball rate with him is excellent. He's going to have the platoon advantage on a lot of these lefties, which is good. We've seen the Dodgers strike out an elevated rate this season, so I don't mind that for a value pitcher. You know, you're probably not looking at a win. I mean, the Dodgers are the second highest favorites on the board tonight there, -235. So, yeah,
He's an SP2. On two pitcher sites. I don't know if I would go with him on FanDuel because I think there's some better ones that you can get. I mean, you could go to Seth Lugo for $300 more. Ty Block is going against the Mets in AT&T. You know, Felix Hernandez is making his comeback, but I mean, you got Jimmy Nelson in Atlanta, Yu Darvish versus the Yankees, who besides Brett Gardner, he actually performs well against. I mean, I don't think I would go, there in on FanDuel. I mean, you could even go down to, let's see here. Yeah, you could go down to Jarrell Cotton against the White Sox tonight at 7,400. I know it's not during the day. I know. But with how bad Chicago is during against right-handed pitching, I mean, they've got a 155 ISO, a 302 WOBA, and they still strike out 22.7% of the time versus right-handed pitching. I don't mind going there at all.
Not bad. Well, let's get to the top of the heap today, right? So we talked about Alex Wood. I do like him today against the Rockies a lot. Now, you want to get a little more expensive today. I'm going to start with Steven Strasburg. He's not my favorite of the day, but he is the largest favorite today, according to Vegas. So Washington at 275. FanDuel is the highest priced pitcher. Then we got Chris Archer a tick below him there at 10-4. Going up against an Orioles team that tripping over their own feet. And, you know, we all know Archer at home. He gets the great park, the pitch in there at Tropicana Field. So, I get everything. Strasburg should get the win here going up against the guy making his MLB debut. Archer should get the win going head-to-head against Ubaldo Jimenez. I mean, you know, Tampa's Vegas total or Vegas line here isn't exactly something to slouch at either. I believe they're at minus 200 right now. It'll probably get higher as we see what the Orioles lineup rolls out today. But, I mean, we got to do an A or B here. I definitely got to go Archer.
Yeah, I think that Archer's the way to go. Like I said, I really kind of like I've been looking at the heat maps this morning. I really, really, really do like the Cincinnati hitters against Steven Strasburg, especially if that temp starts to creep up a little bit. I don't know what the temperature is. I'm looking right now. It is 86 degrees currently. At game time, it is going to be a robust 86 degrees as well, but with a 65% humidity. So it's going to be... it's going to feel a lot hotter than it actually is. And that wind is blowing out to right field at 16 miles an hour. So I think the ball is going to be flying in that game. And I really, really, really do like the Reds because we've seen Strasburg kind of implode over the last, two games against Atlanta and the Mets, two very subpar, performances. Pitt and Baltimore, he struggled against. The Mets, he struggled against. I mean, I'm willing to take a shot.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea. And also, too, you'll see that Strasburg's numbers at home aren't as great. But again, I think a lot of that has to do with that Braves start recently where he got crushed in the sweltering heat. And then also, you mentioned it, too, but that game against the Orioles, he didn't do so hot at home there. So,
nah, he didn't.
And you'll see that. All right. Michael Fulmer again. I kind of alluded to him in the stack segment that we were going to get to him here, but you have that low total going on in San Diego. My issue here with Fulmer, he's just a tick below Archer there on FanDuel. But if you take a look at his last five starts, he's only maxed out at five strikeouts. The rest have been a couple fours, I think a three, a one in there as well. Now, the matchup with San Diego should help him out a bit here. I know he's got to worry about Will Myers. That's really it. Jervis Solarte, who is one of the Padres' best hitters. He's on the DL now. But, other than Myers, I'm really not too worried about many guys here. It's just the strikeouts that I do worry about with him.
Okay. I don't like it. I don't like playing Alex Meyer. I mean,
this is Michael Fulmer.
Or Michael Fulmer. A lot. He's not shown, especially over 10K. I mean, he's got to get, what, 35, 40 in order for me to be there. And I know he pops out quality starts like, you know, he's popping Tic Tacs. But, you know, I need him to push seven. You know, I need him to push seven strikeouts with, you know, one or two earned runs in order for me to really get. I mean, let's not make any mistake about it. This San Diego team has the ability to go out and, especially against right-handed pitching, put up some runs.
Mm-hmm.
But. Well, I don't know. It's very hard for me to go to Alex or Michael Fulmer when Alex Wood and Yu Darvish are cheaper. That's my issue.
Well, this is more the shit on Michael Fulmer segment here then, because we take a look at his last four starts. I mean, he's had some of the most advantageous matchups for a right-hander in baseball, not doing so hot. You got two there against the White Sox where he pulled. Now, these are FanDuel points where he pulls in 31 and 27. White Sox have given him trouble this season, so but whatever. It doesn't get any better. Against the Angels, he only gets one FanDuel point where he gives up five earned runs there. And then against Tampa Bay, the last time out, he pulls in 24 FanDuel points. Three strikeouts against the Rays, which is ridiculous. Gives up three earned runs, does get the quality start. But, yeah, for that price, I think, you know, what we're trying to say here, folks, is that for that price of 10-1 there on FanDuel, you know, we're looking for a near flawless performance there from Michael Fulmer, and he just hasn't been giving us that. And, I mean, his last six starts, he's maxed out at 34. Now, prior to that, you know, he did have some good starts here. On the West Coast, where he is tonight, he had 58 against the A's, 49 against the Angels. This is all the way back in May. And, you know, I guess if we're going to give him some positives, he does get the pitcher today instead of the DH, so there is that. But I think overall his price just kind of puts him, you know, out of my reach where I want him to be.
I can see that.
All right. Any other sneaky fellas here that we're looking at?
Not really. Not. I mean, Jameson Taillon gets St. Louis. It's not a great matchup, but it's not bad. Trevor Bauer gets Minnesota, but you know that game's got rain potential.
Well, one thing with Bauer too: 3-0 with a 3.28 ERA against the Twins this season. He owns them.
Yeah, he does, and that's why I kind of said it. But it's got rain potential, so kind of pay attention to that.
Okay.
J.A. Happ against Kansas City is interesting. I know Kansas City's been hot. I think they're, 9-2 over the last 11 or something like that.
They're starting going to make some, hot.
But him and Seth Lugo on DraftKings are $300 apart, 8,000 and 7,700. And that is very interesting to me.
Okay.
So I really do like those two as potential – you know, SB2s on DraftKings.
Yeah, I don't mind that either. Just taking a quick look. We mentioned Kyle Freeland earlier. I do dig that play. Patty Corbs going up against the Phils. They're massive -200 favorites in Vegas tonight. And the Phillies only have one guy hitting above 300 against lefties this season. That's Howie Kendrick, and he's only had about 30 at-bats against them. Aaron Altair against lefties, though, 7 homers, so he would have to watch out for him. But again, we're talking about cheap fellas here. We're not bringing up the darlings of the bunch. And right. You mentioned Cotton, who I kind of like against the White Sox tonight.
Yeah, exactly. So you've got to be careful because if you don't hit the right guys tonight, then there's a potential that Chris Archer and Alex Wood, if you have them paired up together, and let me see here. Okay, so if you're playing on DraftKings and you pair up Chris Archer and Alex Wood, now that goes over $20K in salary, but you've got $3,500 basically left. If you can just go get one guy that's got a value, that's got some pretty good value, maybe go get a Tom Murphy. Or a Jet Bandy, if Jet Bandy's in the lineup, or, you know, you go grab somebody at like the catcher position. Elias Diaz, if he's in that lineup for Pitt, Kevon Smith at 20, some, one of these guys under 3,000 on DK. Let's just plug in a Martin Maldonado against Porcello is another option. That gives you 3,500. You can build a pretty good roster with Alex Wood and Chris Archer as your pitchers tonight.
Indeed, indeed. Well, that was a beautiful segue into the catchers right there, who you already started naming off. But, you know, that, yeah, like those, all those options that you mentioned right there are pretty good. I'm interested. Wilson Contreras, my man's been on a tear recently here. 8 hits over the last 7 games. Homered last night. Got 4 doubles over that span as well. It's possible that we could see Miguel Montero behind the plate. I know they like to do a lot of flip-flopping on days, but yeah, I think every – I mean, last night was a short slate there with 6 games, so Contreras was, you know, still decently owned at his price, but tonight could be another interesting night to go back there if he's like behind the plate again.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. You've got Alex Avila going up against Luis Perdomo in Detroit. You know, Gary Sanchez, I'm probably going to fade all Yankees tonight just because of the fact that, you know, it is not only is it Yu Darvish, but they tend to – they're becoming chalky again, very chalky. I like Devin Mesoraco or Mesorosco. If he's in that lineup tonight over Tucker Barnhart, he's got almost a 300 ISO versus right-handed pitching this season. So, I think he is a very, very good option tonight, to go with your Cincinnati stack against the Stras.
Looking at everything else, I mean, whoever's going to be catching for the Diamondbacks tonight, they're going to be in the middle of a very potent lineup.
I was listening. Colorado, they didn't do their broadcast yesterday. So they were talking about how they're rotating these 3 catchers, and evidently each pitcher has their like own guy that they work with. So, I want to look into that a little bit later and see, that way we can kind of get an idea. We can kind of start planning it.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I mean, you know, whoever it's going to be, they're going to have good matchups, Chris Iannetta or, yeah, that's probably who it's going to be, but anywho, yeah, let me know what you find out on that study, because I'm very interested as well. Russell Martin, been hitting well the last couple days. Don't mind him. He's going to have a matchup against KC. Yadi Molina, maybe, against Taillon. Not the greatest matchup, but I like what he's been doing lately with the sticks. And maybe a little Salvi Perez going up against J-Hap. Going to have the platoon advantage up there. Perez 7 for his last 15. I always enjoy the recent numbers, so we got that. So I think, you know, we got it pretty locked down there at the top.
Yeah, I think we do.
All right, first base, who do you like?
Joey Votto.
Of course, pick on Stras night.
Yonder Alonso. So, and I mean, Ryan Zimmerman, Logan Morrison. I mean, first base again is loaded. So, it's, for me, it's, you know, what team am I stacking? And then do they have a good power hitting first baseman to go along in there? So as long as they do, then I don't mind kind of throwing them in.
Yep. If we want, start at the top, Paul Goldschmidt, again, pick on the Phils tonight. Yeah, I mean, he's pretty damn expensive there, 48, so keep that in mind. E5 Encarnacion going up against Mejia of the Twins. I mean, Indians, we were talking about, going to be pretty popular if that rain holds off tonight, so I enjoyed that. Eric Thames up against Fultonavich. You know, Fulty sucks against lefties. Huge park upgrade. Not that the Brewers needed it, but they get one tonight being in Atlanta. I dig that.
I like Logan Morrison too. I like him against Ubaldo. Not incredibly expensive, but not bad. Albert Pujols, very interesting against Porcello. Porcello has been absolutely terrible against right-handed batters this season, and Pujols has a decent history there against Porcello. So if you want to go very cheap, I don't mind that. And again, I don't mind going all the way down to Chris Carter again. I mean, not the greatest BVP history against Yu Darvish, but guy's been like, he doesn't put up zeros. He just puts up like a 10 spot for you. And, you know, if he gets on base 2-3 times, comes around to score once with that potent lineup, he's done his job at near minimum price on FanDuel. So I know yesterday, I believe wasn't he more expensive than Miguel Cabrera?
I don't know. I did not play a lot yesterday.
I think so. Somebody in the group, I believe, said that. So if that was the case, that's absolutely insane to go with him on DraftKings. But on FanDuel, where he's basically minimum priced, then, yeah, not a bad guy to just sneak some points in on.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and also homer upside in Yankee Stadium. Any other ones before we go to second base?
Nope.
All right, who are we talking about there?
I really, really, really like Jed Lowry.
Really? Jed Lowry.
And Scooter Jeanette.
Excellent. Well, yeah, excellent short-term BVP against Strasburg. 2-for-5, 2 homers, can't beat it.
And if you want to go against the chalk, Jonathan Scope. He's got pretty good BVP against Mr. Chris Archer.
He does 3 career homers.
So, yeah, there's some pretty good options at the second base position tonight as well.
Yeah, I think Rougned Odor against Tanaka, really like that one. Kipnis has actually done pretty well against lefties. So, again, Reinhold's there. Not a bad idea to go there. I believe, let's see here. Yep, Jose Altuve is on the road tonight, so this could be a good time to get back on him. I know they were in Oakland last time. Don't mind him. And Robinson Cano, still not priced that well on FanDuel, 3,300 over there. So I dig that. D. Gordon, stolen base upside tonight, going up against Lackey. Dig that. But, I like your play again. Jed Lowry, how could you hate that price tag?
Exactly.
Come on now, people. Come on. Third base.
Nolan's got 2 home runs versus Alex Wood, but I'm probably, other than like one lineup, I'm probably not going to go there. Jake Lamb's in a good spot versus Jake Thompson or Mark Leiter Jr., whatever, whoever.
And or the Philly bullpen.
Yeah. Travis Shaw, as you mentioned. Josh Donaldson.
Great day
Chris
Bryant.
I mean, those are the guys that I'm going for double dong power tonight. So if you don't have a 200 ISO, you gone.
Eduardo Nunez all the way down to 3,100. This was one of the hottest hitters in baseball not too long ago. I understand. Whoa, no. Hamstring injury. What happened?
Well, he's been dealing with that since they were in Colorado. So.
Okay.
It's been back and forth.
That had to be over the days that I wasn't paying attention to baseball.
Probably.
But, hey, look, we all need a day off. But, yeah, hey, if he's in the lineup tonight, he is incredibly cheap there, 3,100. Hopefully everything's okay with the man, but he does, he's been one of my favorite players to use this season. So we'll see what happens there. Nick Castellanos is kind of interesting against Perdomo. I know Perdomo, lefties against Perdomo are the way to go, but I still like Castellanos. And let's see. Yeah, I mean, nothing really popping out to me at the top. I think this is going to be a make sure I can find a way to use Paul Goldschmidt and Jake Lamb tonight against the Phillies kind of day.
I mean, you can't go wrong with it. I also think Eugenio Suarez is in play as part of your Cincinnati stack.
Mm-hmm.
So, it seems like it's going to be I'm not quite sure on how this is going to work out yet, but
fair
it
enough.
Seems like there's going to be a very, very weird lineup construction tonight.
Let us not forget, too, we've got everyone's favorite against left-handers, Wilmer Flores. Understand it's San Francisco, but he is going up against the lefty. 2,600 there, so keep that in mind.
Yep.
All right, shortstop.
I hate shortstop tonight. I mean, it seems like it's top heavy. If you want to save some money, I guess Jose Reyes, he's been actually pretty hot lately. But the sites have done actually a pretty good job of bumping up the salaries of the shortstop, so you can't like automatically punt them. Mm-hmm. I mean, Trevor Story's even 3,000. You know, against Alex Wood tonight. Chad Pinder on FanDuel is still under 3,000.
Swipe right.
Yep. And like I said, Jose Reyes. So if you want to save some money, go there. Other than that, it's top heavy.
Yeah. Brandon Crawford, 2,700. Fully understand he's going to be in AT&T Park, but that's just way too cheap for a guy that can hit the gap one or two times. I know Xander Bogaerts, he's been, you know, one of these great hitters here, especially for the Red Sox. Well, you know, the Red Sox really haven't been rocking the ball lately, but this guy continues to rake. I know he doesn't have massive homer upside, and he is priced all the way up at 3,900, but I do like a lot of runs in that game tonight at Fenway, so he is an option. Didi with the short porch there and right at Yankee Stadium, only 3,000. That's kind of ridiculous. You know, Chris Owings going to be there for the Diamondbacks in a good spot. You know, if you want to, you know, 3,000 against the Phillies team, that whoever they throw out there in that bullpen is kind of ridiculous. So you got that. And, yeah, that's probably that. Elvis Andrews, too, 2,900 against Tanaka. I like that as well.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Outfielders?
Kiki. He's probably going to be – he's 2,300 on FanDuel. He's 3,100 on DraftKings.
Still hate him.
I understand that, but he crushes left-handed pitching. So that's a good way to go. Yoenis Cespedes has a slightly lower ISO versus left-handed pitching at 406. You mentioned him earlier, Aaron Altair, Aaron Judge. Mm. You know, Marcelo Zuna. I'm really looking at Jacob Marisnyk. I don't know. I know it's Felix, and I know he carries his name cachet, but I really kind of think that the Astros could blow him up tonight.
Oh, speaking of Astros outfielders, anywhere on Springer from yesterday?
No, I have not seen anything, so that's going to be something that we need to watch.
He did get hit in the hand by a pitch yesterday, left the game in the first inning, I believe.
Yeah, it's like the third pitch of the game. He got his 2 points to say, peace!
Yep, so, yeah, again, if you're going to use him today, just know that his hand is going to be sore as fuck!
So, I mean, not only that, but you've got... you got to look at him and go, okay, is he going to be able to actually hit with power, which is what he's done all year. Mm-hmm. So,
yep, we got that. How about Mookie Betts under 4,000 on FanDuel? We're going to have him excellent prospectus for runs tonight with Big Poppy Night going on at Fenway. Red Sox offense has been struggling a little bit, but you know, they were out on the road there. So, them coming back home going to be a nice thing for them, I believe, tonight. So yeah, Betts not even priced, among your high quality outfielders out there. So I really like that a lot. You want to go with his teammate Benintendi. He's not as cheap as he was a week or two ago, but still in a good spot here today.
Rangers outfielders.
Yeah, we could do that. Shinjin Chu. Carlos Gomez, probably one of the hottest hitters on the face of the earth. 5 homers, 14 RBIs over the last 7 days. That is also an excellent play. And Chris Davis in Chicago. Don't mind that.
Nope, don't mind it at all. It's especially expensive. And the Washington outfielders.
Oh, man. I'm sorry, one more name. Got to get to it. Malik Smith, 2,900 today.
Ubaldo. The Tampa Bay outfielders as well. Corey Dickerson, yes. Malik Smith, and Steven Souza. And even if Colby Rasmus has been dealing with the hit, but he's got some great BVP versus Ubaldo. And that's if he's in that lineup, I really, really like him considering he's pretty cheap. So.
Yeah, well, I was going to say with Malik Smith, he's got massive stolen base upside. Ubaldo never been good holding runners on base. Nope. So That could be a good spot right there. I like that a lot. And again, David Peralta, one of the best – this is a weird designation, but one of the best hitters against right-handed pitching at home in MLB baseball. So,
there you go.
Come on. All right. And Brett Gardner, four homers career off Hugh Darvish. Keep that in mind as well. All right. Yeah. Bit of an abbreviated show today. We had to get out of here quick, but luckily you got all your information in a timely manner. And that'll be good. Have a good weekend. And if you're not signed up with us, promo code WIN, W-I-N, at DFSArmy.com. Follow us on Twitter at DFSArmy.com, at 14A.Walsh, at Boomers DFS Daddy. And we'll see you again on Monday.
Peace. Peace out.